breaking details about Anderson abuse case and Sumner cover-up. Anglican Watch is deeply concerned that Alan Gates is using the Anderson Title IV case to reign in the Church of the Advent and its secessionist tendencies, while failing to care for the hashtag MeToo victim. Recently, we have been in contact with several persons connected to the Reverend Douglas Anderson Title IV case. Additional details are emerging, and to say they are ugly is an understatement. We have identified a third alleged victim of sexual misconduct by Anderson victim. Because abuse is so underreported, we believe additional victims may exist. Randy Sams, the Texarkana nonprofit connected with this case, continues to engage in retaliation towards persons connected with the matter. Due to Randy Sams' refusal to act with integrity in this case, Anglican Watch encourages corporations and communities of faith to withhold funding until the organization implements a zero-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment. We have said it before and repeat, sexual misconduct is never acceptable. Nor is retaliation acceptable. We remind Randy Sams' board members that they legally have a fiduciary obligation to the organization and can be held responsible for breach of that fiduciary obligation. As of now, it appears they are in breach of their legal duties. And we and others are watching closely and willing to testify in criminal or civil litigation, or an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, case. Bishop Sumner is deeply involved in efforts to sandbag the case. His efforts at cover-up include potentially illegal actions to dig up dirt on Rich Daly, the parochial vicar Sumner pushed out of office in violation of Canon IV.3.1e, which expressly forbids retaliation in a Title IV matter. We continue to uncover additional details of Sumner's misconduct and believe there is much more to this story. Under Canon IV.1f, any clergy person with knowledge of a Title IV violation is required to report it. Thus, the DO Mass Hearing Panel must forward a disciplinary complaint about Sumner's violation of Canon IV.3.1 to Todd Owsley. While Owsley is largely useless, that is what the canons require. If Owsley and the other apparatchiks won't take the matter seriously, we encourage the victim to file an EEOC case. If you need help in doing so, we will find you the help and support you need. Sexual harassment is usually a civil violation, but it may rise to the level of criminal activity. Regardless of Owsley's feckless attitude towards the canons, Sumner should be defrocked. The days when the church gets to cover up hashtag MeToo with impunity are over. Multiple sources tell us that neither the Diocese of Dallas nor the Diocese of Massachusetts has provided the pastoral response mandated by Title IV from the moment a complaint is filed. Thus, Anglican Watch is calling BS on both dioceses. Title IV is a structured process intended to discern the truth and promote healing. The fact that both dioceses are ignoring this key aspect of the process shows their lack of respect for the alleged victims in this case and suggests ulterior motives, versus concern about misconduct. Evidence suggests that the only reason corrupt Bishop Alan Gates and his equally corrupt canon to the ordinary, Bill Parnell, are pursuing the case is that they are aware that the conservative faction is gaining the upper hand at Church of the Advent, with the support and encouragement of Anderson. Thus, Gates and Parnell recognize that sidelining Anderson will hinder efforts by the parish to disassociate from tech. Consider, if they really were concerned about hashtag MeToo, why wouldn't Gates honor his canonical obligation to provide a pastoral response to the victim? And the diocese has a track record of ignoring complaints of illegal behavior by clergy serving within its borders, so let's not think this is a one-off breach of Gates' obligations as a bishop. A consistent theme we have heard is that Anderson is a world-class narcissist. While we have no first-hand knowledge to support or refute this conclusion, his behavior appears to fit. Indeed, allegations that he has given the heave-ho to members who support the ordination of women suggests possible issues with other aspects of the so-called dark triad, Machiavellianism and psychopathy. The Church of the Advent also has lied to parishioners about this matter, initially telling them that Anderson was dealing with issues involving his mother. While that may be the case, he has been suspended from office over the Title IV matter. In case someone has previously missed our comments on this topic, we reiterate, don't be stupid. Don't lie. As for the diocese and its handling of the matter, disclosure is important. While the diocese should be careful to avoid defamation or other tortious actions, we cannot be in right relationship with one another when we do not know the truth. And everything we have learned about Anderson is appalling and inconsistent with the messages of the Gospels. Anglican Watch is deeply concerned that the most important part of this case, the victim and her needs, is being ignored. We believe Gates will give Anderson the heave-ho, install a loyalist recto in order to retain control of Advent and its assets, and brush aside the lasting trauma facing the victim. By all accounts, the latter is a kind, caring human being who deserves appreciation and respect, not getting run through the buzzsaw of a badly handled Title IV case. In other words, her welfare should be the priority, not the inconvenient collateral issue. At the end of the day, a key question is, if Gates' wife, Patricia, Trisha, Harvey, were the victim, would it be okay for the church to ignore the requirement of a pastoral response? We think not, and we urge Gates to quit being so damned two-faced and act with integrity. As in, call the victim, ask her to tell you what she needs from a pastoral response, then make it happen. And while he's at it, Gates can act like a grown-up and apologize a real apology, not an episcopal faux-pology. As things stand, Gates and Parnell are appalling examples of the hypocrisy, dysfunction, and corruption that rises to the top of the Episcopal Church. It is time for them to clean up their acts and align the Jesus babble with their behavior. We call on both to take immediate steps to provide the pastoral response mandated by the canons, not necessarily pastoral care, although that may be part of it, and show love, kindness, and respect to the victim. And we call on Gates and Parnell this Lent to publicly repent of their role in the mistreatment of women.